Moving on now with Greater LA from KCRW, I'm Steve Chiotakis. The November election is long over, but the ballot initiatives have passed? Well, soon you get to see them in action, like Measure ULA, which added a tax on residential and commercial property sales in the city beginning in April. 4% on properties of more than $5 million, 5.5% on ones over $10 million. The money will go toward affordable housing and homeless prevention, but the LA Times reports that some property owners are already searching for ways around Measure ULA. And even supporters of it worry it may actually reduce the quantity of housing construction in general. Shane Phillips is Housing Initiative Project Manager over at UCLA's Lewis Center for Regional Policy Studies. Shane, welcome to you.
Thank you.
What are the ways that people are trying to avoid ULA? And did anyone, you included, see this coming?
Yeah, I think it was foreseen. And, you know, I think the two ways that people are trying to avoid the tax right now is first, just selling before it goes into effect. I don't believe it comes into effect until around April or so. So if you can sell before then, some people are trying to do that. And I think that was completely expected. The other, you know, my understanding is that some owners of high value properties might be trying to kind of split them up into separate ownership entities and selling each one separately. I don't actually think that that's legal, but some might try to do it. And so there's a concern that there might be a little bit of that. But I think mostly it will be people trying to just sell as quickly as possible before the tax goes into effect.
Do you think this was kind of baked in, you know, this circumventing that I would imagine the people who put this measure together would have foreseen, right?
Yeah, I know for a fact that the projections for revenues don't account for this. That's because this is just going to be a one-time thing. What I'm really interested in is what is the ongoing year after year revenue that's going to come in from this. And I think on that, their projections of, you know, around $900 million, $1 billion a year are probably pretty accurate.
But I wonder, though, is the simple byproduct of that there are fewer housing units being built because people aren't wanting to sell to developers who may come in and want to build these multi-unit housing developments?
That really is my main concern here, that Measure ULA is going to do a lot of great things. I voted for it. You know, I support the things it's going to spend this money on, including the construction of affordable housing, but it's going to do a lot of other things as well, including a right to counsel for tenants facing eviction, rent assistance, things like that. But ultimately, there is a really valid concern that when you impose a new tax on these projects, the developers who are planning these projects, they can't actually charge more in rent just because their taxes have gone up. And they can't really cut costs in terms of how they build their project for the most part. There's only so much, you know, cost saving you can get out of that. And so what's really going to happen is they're going to have to take the cost of that tax out of what they pay for land. And, you know, a 5% tax on a, you know, big project might not sound like a lot, but when all of the money has to come out of the land price and land is maybe, you know, 20% of the total cost of development, you're talking about paying 25, 30, 35% less for land. And there are a lot of owners of land who just aren't going to want to sell to a developer at that price. And so that's really my kind of big concern here, is that by imposing this tax on all sales, including the sales of newly, you know, redeveloped properties, we're going to see a reduction in housing production. And that's both, you know, market rate, which has been shown to help with affordability, but is pretty high price, admittedly, but also below market housing that's reserved for low income households and set at rents that are affordable to them. The private market builds more than 1,000 of those units in the city of LA every year. And to the extent that those are at risk, we could just be kind of trading one funding source for losing privately financed below market units on the other hand.
So what then is the remedy to that? I mean, how do you fix that?
Yeah, and this is part of why, even knowing that this could be a problem, I still voted for the initiative, because the initiative does say that city council has the authority to amend it if it sort of furthers the purposes of the initiative, which include building lots of or having lots of affordable housing. And I think the people who wrote the initiative would agree You know, if we could build more affordable housing total by exempting new multifamily mixed income developments, which is what I'm proposing, then we should do that. And ultimately, you know, I've looked at the numbers, and if we were to exempt new multifamily developments on their first sale, so say you build a project and 6 years later you sell it, that first sale is exempt from this tax. Anytime it's sold in the future, it would still pay, but that first sale is exempt so that they don't have to take that hit on the land value and everything. It's a very minimal cost, actually, and it sort of avoids us getting in this place where, which I think is where we're headed, which is we've created this new funding source that's going to help pay for an additional maybe 2,000 or 3,000 below market affordable units per year. But in so doing, we're creating a drag on the tens of thousands of units we need to be building in addition to that. The city has a goal of about 55,000 new homes per year over the coming 8 years. And so we just can't let this funding source for 3,000 units become a drag on the production of those other 50,000 plus.
When you look at this, Measure ULA, and this is, again, something that goes through my head, just being a journalist in LA, we had Measure H and Measure Triple H that were passed several years ago here in LA. And, you know, you're talking about hundreds upon hundreds of billions of dollars going toward affordable housing. And it's like, how does that factor into what happens with Measure ULA and how it gets funded in the future?
My big takeaway from Measure HHH, I think it's been a really important case study in how, you know, funding helps. It has helped build, Measure HHH has helped build thousands of units for people experiencing homelessness, for low-income households. It has done a ton of good, but it's also made it so clear that just spending more money on affordable housing and these needs is not enough by itself. It is still 100% the case that unless we address the fundamental scarcity of housing, the lack of production that LA has been engaged in for 30 plus years, housing prices are going to keep going up. The cost of a voucher is going to keep going up. The cost of building subsidized housing is going to keep going up. And so it has to be a partnership between these funding measures and affordable housing developers who are using public subsidies, and also this broader mission of how do we make sure there is enough housing, period, whether it's subsidized or not. And most of that is going to come from the private market.
Shane Phillips, Housing Initiative Project Manager over at UCLA's Lewis Center for Regional Policy Studies. Shane, thanks for coming on and talking to us.
Thank you.
Support comes from USC Online, providing exceptional online graduate programs, certificates, and upskilling for current and aspiring professionals. Explore your graduate options today with the University of Southern California at online.usc.edu.